theme for the afternoon talk with you is the four kinds of action. We as human beings on this earth express our life in a variety of different ways, and some of those ways which are obvious to us is through the activities that go on in our heart and mind. A second, which takes place as well, is through our communication. There's an activity of speaking, of writing, sending messages, of relating to the other. Another way expresses itself through the body, and that may show itself in work, in a variety of commitments, in the arts and creativity, in love, in making love, in the act of service for others, and many other ways. So here we are as human beings, we are living our life from one day to the next. Action is important to us, the actions or activities in our inner life, one, in speech, in communication, two, and in activities, three. So if we are to give the fullness of attention to these three areas, we would see that that central thread or theme in all of this is related to action. And with these actions in the daily life, there is an event which takes place inside of us, which requires from us a lot of mindfulness and presence and clarity. And that is the intention. Intention is critical to human life. Around an intention can go much else. I'll speak to you about that in a moment or two. So from an intention inside, psychological, heart or intuitive dynamic inside, from an intention, when it is an authentic, genuine intention, it will lead to an action. The only confirmation of a clear intention in life is through the outcome. I may have lots of ideas. I may have thoughts such as I should or I must. And we can burn up inside of ourselves a lot of energy, mental energy, generate for us a lot of stress. We imagine we have an intention to do something, but it isn't. It's not going anywhere. It's just circulating mental noise in the name of an intention to do. And it takes from us some real clarity to find the authentic inner voice, and an inner voice which is saying to us, this voice will go and is going from intention to action. And that movement is important. But the movement of intention to action, from a spiritual perspective, from a Dharma perspective, from a wise perspective, that the intention carries with it no wish whatsoever through the mind, through speech, through the written or through action, no intention whatsoever to bring about any harm to anybody. That's the commitment of intention. That is, in these teachings and in these practices, the great challenge for us as women and men on the earth, to find a clear intention which is respectful, in this case, to the other, which has no wish in any way to bring about harm to the other. That will challenge human beings right down to your toenails. It will challenge every DNA inside of us to explore clearly enough ways and means so that an intention leads to an action, non-harming, which leads to a benefit for others and oneself. When the intention is not clear, either it, as I mentioned, can lend itself to thinking, and lots of should and must and ought to. And when we get lost in should, must and ought to, as I said, it's exhausting, it brings anguish and anxiety, we feel frustrated because there is a pressure within. And our meditations today, our mindfulness and our walking is a contribution to reducing the pressure in order for a pure or clear intention to arise. And to find what that is, and as much as possible to stay true to it. It is not easy. But frankly, there is no alternative. Who wants to live a life in chaos and confusion within, in lots of pressure and judgment on oneself, and making other people's lives difficult through the intention to harm them? That's not a choice in life. That's a problem. That's a tragedy for us. And we are here and elsewhere to find another way of being. Sometimes, in the, and some of you just from the group today, this isn't so easy. Sometimes we take a look at our life and we might think, what on earth is going on with my life? Or more precisely, what the hell is going on with my life? There. And in a way, the mindfulness and the awareness of our situations is looking, it may be clearly or not, at our past. And we're looking at how things are occurring or working out for us in relationship to our past. And we may be, some of you are, at a point in our life where there is a sense in some way or other something needs to change. Not for everybody. Some people's lives here are flowing along well, so you don't have to take any notice of the next few minutes. I've got in mind those of you who are in some struggle. And we take a look at our life at the present, and there is a recognition something needs to change. We can think about it till the cows come home. It doesn't necessarily generate and produce a change for us. And then we're in the situation in life of needing to be clear, what is it that I need to change? I can't live with a view I need to change. What? I need to be clear about what very specifically and concretely I need to change. I have to know what I'm working with. If I don't, I'll just be talking to my friends and talking to my colleagues and talking, oh, I really need to change my life. And you can talk to them till they're completely bored with you and they're fed up with you talking about your life there, because they can't see any change. All that can be heard is the talking about I need to change, but no change is happening. These are really boring people. I hope you're not one of them. So sometimes I need to change. What is it that needs to change? And quite often, in the wish to change, there, I may need to change, this is important, the outer. You're in a job, you hate it. They did a social survey of people working in London in offices. 81% said they hate their job. Can you imagine spending your life year after year in a job and you hate it? Get out, do something. But it's not easy. Security, money, pressure, obligations, it makes it difficult to make a fundamental change. But action is concerned with change. Sometimes it is not the object. It's not the marriage, it's not the lover, it's not the work, it's not the making of more money or whatever. It could be the change which is required is, and this is the action, the change in the attitude. The negative attitude, the blaming attitude, the hostile attitude, the fearful attitude. That's what needs to change. Not the outer, but one's way of looking at it. And sometimes, for some, it's changing the outer. A good friend of mine, working in the city, she's a jewellery designer. And for the, what they call it, the upper end of the market. Means it's expensive. And working in the city, and years of producing jewellery for these pop stars and other people who are overpaid for entertaining us, and felt I need to break out of this, I need to make a change. So with all the so-called success, with all that went with that world, a calling, something deeper is calling there. Does one stay in the comfort and the security of a job which is so-called successful? Or does one listen to an inner voice and says, it's time for action, it's time for some change? And to her tremendous credit here, she stepped out of the city, minimized the role, and currently is taking small groups, primarily women, into Dartmoor, which is a wilderness area in Britain, and they're staying out, walking through the day, camping at night, drinking from the clean streams. There are not many of them left, by the way, in Britain, and just really getting close to nature. And something about that is fulfilling her and fulfilling the others. Yeah. And sometimes, therefore, it is a step, is the important thing here, out of the known and the familiar, called being a successful or a whatever. And for some, like her and others of you, the action is initially a step into the unknown. It's not just walking out and walking into something new. Sometimes it's walking out and not knowing what the hell is going to happen now. But at least there's opportunity. A facility, a resource like Dovana here, is providing all of us, all of you, teachers and the good our lovely guardian angels, the manager and the team, to have the opportunity to look at our life and to ask ourselves, do I need some action to make a change in my life? If so, what is it? Is it the object, let's say the role or the position or whatever, or is it my relationship to it? And if you're unhappy, if you're complaining, if you're going on and thinking too much about change, then it's time to get your good act together and do something. This is the environment for it. Sometimes people come on retreats and they walk out a new human being, and God bless you for doing it. Nice. I mustn't go on too long because I've got to get to the four kinds of action. So I'm getting there, don't go away. So there's one kind of action. And we need to be quite clear about it. It has a place. It has a modest place. And the Buddha in the teachings explored these kinds of action a great deal. So one is, I am acting, I am doing something primarily for my benefit. I'm not saying it's bad or wrong or whatever, just to be clear. So in that, there's risk involved. There is the intention. The intention is to do something. You have the intention to come on a retreat and you come. There are some, we were just discussing this, a little guy and I, especially earlier today at the breakfast table. The number of people who sign up for these retreats is very, very high there. People in this mad world we live in say, oh, I'm going to go sit this retreat with the good teachers at Tovana, etc. We never see them. Even a couple of weeks before the retreat starts, they're still confirming, still not coming, which unfortunately blocks those who really want to come, but the space, it's with the space situation. It wasn't an intention. It was an idea, or I just put my name down just in case I might go. Voila, makes it difficult. Oh, it makes it the food, the organisation, etc., etc. So we're having some discussions about new methods. So the intention leads to an action. The action is primarily for oneself. Why not? We live in this world. But to remember, with intention and action will come a result. There will be an outcome or a fruit to what we do. Anything in life. The outcome or the fruit will come sooner or later, but it will come. Sometimes we have enough clarity that it's a pure heart, that means no intention to harm or exploit, and there is a certain trust that the outcome will be beneficial. And sometimes it is, we hope. You come on a retreat, even though today one of the most popular mantras of the day is, what am I doing here? I could be lying on the beach getting sunburnt instead. And one is here for the days that you are here. And for many it's new, so the intention is there, thank you for coming. The action is there, participating in the program. We may not know, you may not know, I don't know, what the outcome will be, what the fruits may be, what the benefits may be. So there's a certain trust which will be of benefit to you. It is one kind of action. It's not the only kind in this world. The difficulty is, in this world that we live in, there is an obsession about self-interest, about placing oneself first, not only first, middle and last, placing oneself in the very center of life's stage. And a little bit of the reflection which we can engage in here is, am I making myself the most important person on this planet? Am I just primarily always thinking about I, me and my? Are other people simply some kind of supporting cast for my central role in this Shakespearean drama called living on this earth? You have to ask yourself. Also, those of us in the privilege of authority have to ask ourselves regularly, am I putting myself in the centre of life stage? It's one form of the self. And it shows itself as well in the spiritual language to please be careful about. Self-help. I see the self-help books when I go to the airport sometimes. Sadly, I see some of my own books in the self-help section. Self-compassion and self-acceptance and self-pity and self-inquiry and self and self and self and self. It can have a usefulness, but any exaggeration of self will be at the expense of the other. There's a second kind of action. And this kind of action is genuinely giving consideration to the other, to the self of the other. And there are some people in our life who genuinely are really important people for us. And sometimes because of the bloodline, of course, relatives and so forth, some kind of long-standing friendships and much, much more. And there is a healthy commitment for the welfare of others. And just to give you a good example, this was my daughter I mentioned yesterday, who regularly, as those of you who've been on retreats with me before, know that she and the kids get a regular mention on the talks. I have a full okay with this. So to give you an example, she just got four kids and single mom, and about a month ago she got a new job. Since she's 37, and since the age of 18 she's been working in public service. She's like myself, she's totally dedicated to public service. That's what we do. And when she was interviewed, 150 applicants for the job, 12 people were hour-long interview with them, the CEO of this women's charity dealing with domestic violence said to her, what do you think of the pay? That it's an assistant director. What do you think of the pay? And my daughter, in her usual straightforward way, said to the interview panel, the pay is crap. And she thought, well, that's it, she won't get the job. But the women's charity, appreciated her honesty and her straightforwardness, and she got the job. And she followed up with, she said, I would rather be in work with a low pay and dedicated in service to others than work in the private sector and make a lot of money. The intention is service. And low pay, okay, but it's service. And that's what she's committed to. Last week, to give an example of what service, one young woman, only a few weeks ago, she was 17, she was taken overseas to be pushed into a marriage which she did not want to be married, and to this person who she'd hardly met. She ran away, actually from Pakistan, came back to London, and the immigration took away her passport there and only gave her a photocopy, interviewed her a lot before she was allowed back into the country. We know the, these issues. And then she couldn't go back home because the parents were furious with her. And she had nowhere to go. And she just turned 18, so children's services couldn't do anything for her because she's now an adult. And she contacted the charity there. She went to the police. They couldn't help her. She went to the housing people. They said, we can't do anything for you. She went to the Citizens Advice Bureau. They couldn't do anything for her. So then got hold of the charity there. I'll come to the point in a moment with this. And my daughter, only been there for 2 weeks. They have safe houses for women. And there was one spare place in all the safe houses. One spare place was left. And the manager of that house said, we can't take this 18-year-old because we only take women with emotional issues, drug and alcohol problems. And my daughter said to them, you think she hasn't got an emotional issue? Forced marriage, thrown out by her parents, terrified, sleeping in a park, just the clothes she's standing in, nobody wants her. You don't think she's got an emotional issue? And then my daughters, and they said, it's against the rules. And my daughter said, I could not care a stuff about your rules. I am the director. You take her. She is going to stay there, and I'll take the responsibility for breaking the rules. I had no choice. She's now got a room. She can lock the door. She's safe. And she's got a team of social workers looking after her. I use that as an example. Now, of course, I'm very happy with my daughter with her. Good spark about her. But more importantly than that, sometimes in the act of service for others, it matters far more than all the rules, all the regulations, all the orders, everything, all the construct. It matters more than the system. And some of you are engaged in service to others. One has to take risk with that service. It's a responsibility to take risk with it and to be able to take the heat. So one is sometimes attention to oneself. We need that. Other times it is giving attention to the support of others with that underlying ethic and principle of non-harming there. The third, equally important, actually very, very important, this one, it is the action where it's equal interest and support for self and other. Both matter. And there are people in our life, and they will come up in your meditations, they will come up like night will follow day, they will arise. About your relationship to certain people in your life. And when we are not very clear with our relationship, and imagination and thought and ideas are arising in relationship, what easily happens is we expect others to be in a certain way, but we can't be in the same. We can't. We tell others to stop being angry while we continue to be angry with them. We tell others to stop having addictive behaviour while we're addicted to our own issues. Looking at the self and the other is an immense challenge. And sometimes in relationship and in personal, intimate, close relationship, the father, the mother with the children with the parents, the partners, the work colleagues, or whatever it might be. Those relationships is a relationship about oneself and other. And if I keep seeing the fault in the other, I'm foolish. If I think the problem is only exclusively about the other, I'm not seeing very well. If I think it's all about me, also not seeing very well. And some of you will know that there are these lovely, I think they're lovely, I'm not quite sure really, mindfulness programs going on all over the place. And so much of it is about me reducing my stress, me feeling more comfortable, me feeling less pain in the body, me using less drugs and medication, etc. It is important, but a lot of the suffering which arises, this is the case in the workplace, is because the structure of the system is contributing. It's the pressure upon you, the pressure to be efficient, the pressure to increase profit, the pressure to be more productive. And that needs to be addressed. Rather than thinking, oh, it's just about me, I can't deal with it, I can't handle it, I can't cope with it. Sometimes some of you are afraid to question your bosses. You're afraid to look at the corruption. You're afraid to make and invite changes. You're afraid to protest. And the fear keeps one contracted. And it's not easy, I appreciate, to take the risk for you, for others, to say what needs to change in this situation, because the problems that are going on, in this case in the business world and in various institutions, is not about the individual, it's about the totality of the event. And it's going to need some bold women and some bold men to sit around together and say, this has to change. Just doing a personal mindfulness course is not the answer. No way. And I have a little authority because I'm a mindfulness teacher. So sometimes the self-other dynamic is to be explored, is to be addressed. And that, like the others, it takes some risk because one doesn't know the consequence. They had a documentary on television in Britain, or rather, people like me enjoy some of these documentaries. A large shop in one of the towns in England, which had opened by a family-run business since 1798, so it had been running for quite some period of time. The English always prefer the past to the present, it's a cultural phenomena. But this large two- or three-storey shop selling household goods was losing money every year. And the boss said, you know, I'm going to have to close it down, just losing too much money. The staff said to the boss, take a holiday for a year. Give us £30,000, which is like 150,000 shekels. Trust us to see if we can get this shop, which we love and we have worked for years, back on its feet. And the boss said, do I hand over this whole shop and not even ask about what's happening in a year? Not come back into the shop, just and give £30,000 and let them run it, all the staff. And he said, okay, 1 year. Still losing money, we close. We finish. 220 years, it's finished. That's it, end of the family business. The staff got together and came up with brilliant ideas and just changed so many things in the shop. And then the day came, the BBC cameraman was there, and the boss, after 1 year, came back to his shop, the family business there, came in. He didn't recognise it. We didn't meet there. And suddenly, there's a whole new shop, lots and lots of customers in there, there's energy and brightness. Wow, the boss had the humility to step back and had the trust, this is beautiful, and had the trust to give things and allow the staff to be creative, to use their ideas, their experience there. We need bosses like that. Oh, we need change. We need change. Action for oneself, but not too much, please. Action for other, plenty, please, but don't forget yourself. Action where there's a real consideration, as I mentioned, for both self and others. What can we do together? It's really important. Now, with each one, it's intentions, there's the actions, and there's the outcome, the result there. The fourth one is the one which comes under the general sense, Dharma teachings here, of liberation. It's the liberation of action. It's the liberation of the heart and mind. It's the liberation of the voice, of the pen or the written. The liberation of the body to respond, to use the body for creative and imaginative ways. And a liberated action, this is the important thing, is not dependent on the self or on the other. This is the best kind of action. It's not dependent on getting what I want. It's not dependent on pleasing the other. That the action of the human being is that the action itself is precious. It's beautiful. It's authentic. It's real. The action. And though there may be some benefit for oneself, though there may be some benefit for the other, but the trust is in the human being expressing herself, himself, fully. Fullness in it. And therefore, it is not about self and other. And the freedom of this action carries with it the same ethic of non-harming. We do it for the love. We do it for the love of the action. That may show itself for those who are engaged in the arts. So the art itself is beautiful. The artist is a small detail. The worker, the working, is the beautiful. The worker, the boss or the worker, is the small detail. The speaking is the important aspect. The speaker is the minor detail. And it's this shift over to the freedom of action, the expression of it, in which it's not dependent on the approval of myself about myself, and it's not dependent on the approval of others. Because one's being knows the genuine, authentic nature of the action. Let's find out what that is. Let's really dig deep into the being in the days that we are here, and there is much to discover with us, and that freeing up, that liberating movement of the life is precious. Thank you for listening. Let's have a quiet minute, shall we?